The Gospel of John is written on this vast spiritual canvas. It's a gospel that is constantly looking back to the writings of the Old Testament, the writings of the Hebrew Scriptures, and particularly the story of creation, remembering that both begin in the same way, in the beginning. But the Gospel of John is also looking to what the ministry of Jesus will bring for anyone who wants to become a follower of the Lord, anyone who wants this spiritual new birth that is able to make up for all of those past sins, beginning with the sin of Adam. And so what John understands in the ministry of Jesus, having pondered and reflected upon the life and ministry and teaching of Jesus for many years before he ever sat down to write his gospel, John is able to understand the work and the physical actions of Jesus with this new insight. And so when we get to this story of the man born blind, it's set in the context of Jesus already teaching in the temple about being the light of the world. You might remember in the Gospel of John, he loves the number 7, and he structures the gospel around 7 different things. In fact, 3 sets of 7. There are 7 miracles, but which he calls signs, beginning back in chapter 2 with the turning of the water into wine. And then in chapter 5, he heals a cripple. Then in chapter 6, there's 2 miracle stories where he walks on the water and then multiplies the bread. What we have here is the 6th of the signs here in chapter 9. Next week, we'll have the 7th and by far the greatest of the signs before the resurrection of Jesus, which is the ultimate sign of God. Then there are these discussions and teaching segments. Last week, we had the story with him sitting by the woman at the well in Samaria. That's one of those stories. Previous chapter, in chapter 3, you had the long discussion with Nicodemus, another one of these stories. In chapter 10, you get the story of the Good Shepherd and so forth. So there are 7 stories, 7 signs. And in the midst of all of these, there are these 7 declarations that Jesus makes about himself. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the gate of the sheep. All of these signs pointing to the very presence of Jesus in the midst of the community and who he is, leading anyone who reads the gospel, anyone who encounters Jesus through the writings of John, to a deepening experience. And so what it seems is just this simple healing story, as told by John, suddenly plunges us into the midst of the action. There are 8 scenes that unfold across this 9th chapter of John's gospel, 8 scenes that invite us to journey along with Jesus. The first is when Jesus and the disciples are walking out of the temple and they come across the man begging there by the gate. And there's that discussion around the nature of sin. That kind of forms the underlying part of the whole of the story. Because what was the usual understanding was that if there is physical disability present, then there must be sin. And if the person is born blind, then the discussion was, well, it must have been the parent's sin that caused this disability. And Jesus is saying, no, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He's setting that whole discussion straight. He's saying, no, he is our brother. He is to be included in the people of God. Don't exclude him just because of this physical disability. Everyone has to be included. But you'll see as they go through that the Pharisees don't get this. Even when he's healed, they still say, no, you must be a sinner because of this disability. And Jesus is saying, no, if you can't see that this man is your brother, then you are still blind. Then in scene 2, we have the actual miracle, which is so beautifully told as Jesus does what? Spits on the ground. He takes the dust and the dirt of the ground and begins to knead and mold the 2 substances together to form this mud pie, to form this paste. And then he daubs some of this paste onto the man's eyes so that the man who's blind and can't see what Jesus is doing is able to feel the weight of this mud, is able to experience physically what it is. But in John, it's also a reminder of the story of creation, a reminder of Genesis 2, when the Lord God fashioned Adam from the Adama, from the dirt, and fashioned him into a man, and then breathed his divine life into him to give him life. And so Jesus here spits upon the ground, creating the same kind of mixture of the earth, of the human and the divine, bringing them all together to heal and to bring life through his incarnation. Then he sends the man forth. He says, go and wash. Go to the pool of Siloam, a place in the Old Testament that's often called Shiloh, a place of healing, a place of cleansing. And in the waters, when he's plunged into the waters, reminding the Christian community of baptism, reminding us of our own experience of being saved, of being healed. The word that is here, that paste, the anointing that Jesus does for the, over the man's eyes, reminds us in the Greek of the whole sense of Jesus being the Savior when he makes this salve to put over the eyes of the man. And the man washes and he comes back able to see. In some ways, in the Synoptic Gospels, that would usually be the end of the story, that the man would be healed and that would be the end. He would then go off rejoicing. But here, John wants him to be a sign for us that physical is not the end of the story. He wants this man to go on a journey of faith. But what we see is that Jesus actually disappears. And as the next four scenes unfold, Jesus is not present. He's disappeared from front of the stage. The next scene that happens is there's a discussion then between the man and all of the neighbors. They're wanting to know, well, how is it? We've known you since you were born. We've known that you've been sitting there begging, unable to do anything for yourself. Now, how is it that you're able to walk around free and unaided? How is it that this has happened? You know, is it the same man? Are we mistaken? Does he just look like the man that we've known all of our lives? And that great declaration at the end when the man simply says in the Greek, ego eimi, I am. And this is what Jesus has just said at the end of the 8th chapter. Before Abraham ever was, ego eimi, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Jesus makes these declarations to remind us that he, like the Lord God that was revealed to Moses back in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, is a reminder of the very divine presence there when the Lord revealed himself as I am who I am. In the Greek, it's ego eimi ho'on. And so the man is able to come into that awareness of the very presence of God, that powerful presence of God at work already in his life. But he's still not yet at true faith. Because when he goes off to be questioned then by the Pharisees in scene 4, they say, you know, well, who is this man? Who is the man? Where is he? I don't know where he is, but he must be a prophet. Then the man exits and they bring his parents onto the stage. They want to question him. Well, what is the story? How has this happened? You know, was he in fact born blind? And they say, well, we know he's our son. We know he was born blind, but we don't know how he's able to see. He's old enough. Go and ask him. In Jewish tradition, that simply means that he's at least one day older than his 13th birthday. That was when a person was able to be old enough to bear witness or to give testimony in a court. So the parents say, no, we go back to him. We don't know. Then the man is brought again to the leaders of the Jews, to the Pharisees. Again, there's a discussion. Again, there's a questioning. And they want to say, well, he must be a sinner because he's broken the Sabbath rule, because Jesus, not in the anointing, but in the kneading of the dirt and the saliva into a cake. That is one of the 39 things that are forbidden on the Sabbath. The Jews in the Mishnah say that there are these 39 activities, from sowing and cooking to hunting to lighting a fire to putting out a fire to writing more than two letters to erasing more than two letters in order to write other letters. All of these activities are forbidden according to the rule of the Mishnah that cannot be done because they're all constitute work. And so Jesus has broken the Sabbath by making this cake, by making the paste in order to put it on the eyes of the man. So he's broken the Sabbath, therefore he must be a sinner. But the man with beautiful sense of logic says, well, how can a sinner do something that is so wonderful? How can a sinner do the work of God? And so he turns the tables onto the Pharisees and begins to challenge them. Well, do you want to become his disciples too? But the man still doesn't know who Jesus truly is. The man is able to move from to saying, well, he's a man, to saying he's a prophet, to now saying, well, he must be from God, because no one could do these things unless he is from God. Then Jesus, after the man is expelled by the Jewish leaders from the synagogue, then Jesus finds the man, and he begins to push him even deeper into this experience of faith. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, well, show me who he is, and I will believe. The man you're talking to, the man that you are looking at, that wonderful line, he, I am he. And so the man's only response is to fall down and to worship. This is the journey of faith that all of us are invited through this season of Lent. This journey to recognize that we are sinners in need of God's mercy, that we are all alike, that we all share in the one family of God, that there is no people who are others. We're all together in this journey. We're all of us in need of our eyes to be opened. We're all in need of physical healing. We're all in need of this spiritual movement to deeper and more authentic faith, to recognize, like this man did, that the one before us, the one that we long for, is the Lord Jesus. He is the Son of Man. He is worthy to be worshipped. That all of us need our eyes and our hearts to be opened. If we say we can see, then we, like the Pharisees, are declared by Jesus to be in need of healing. If we, like the man, are able to say, no, we are blind, help me to see, Lord, help my unbelief, then we, like the man, will be led deeper into that true worship of God. Let's take that journey of faith. Let's allow the Lord to lead us into that true worship of the Lord. Let's allow the Lord to open our hearts to see those around us, to allow Him to indeed be for us the light of the world.